Hello and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo, and yes, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, dave@pezzofinancial.net. Well, not much happened in the market this week, right? I guess if you looked at the end of the week, you'd say barely changed, slightly up, but it sure didn't feel like that. It sure didn't feel like that. Obviously, we've got huge volatility driven by the machines, as we talked about last week. That's the big thing. How are individual investors acting? Well, I can tell you they're acting good, but that's really not overall how they appear to be acting. Friday, not this Friday, a week ago, Friday. Apparently, it was one of the highest volume, or that was the highest volume dollar amount, not number of shares, highest dollar amount traded for a day. Okay, so machines went crazy. I got it. But apparently, 401k money was moving out of stocks into bonds. We're at the lowest interest rates of our life. Bonds can't work. They cannot work. Will not work in the long run. Can't. They can for a day, and we can jibber-jabber and talk about, you know, well, we got this 70-30 portfolio, or where do you think I should be? Should I be, you know, because I'm young and aggressive at an 80-20. It's like, why would I put 20 or 30 or 40% or more? In some cases, people put more of my money in something that can't, won't work. Why? I mean, does that make any sense at all to anyone? It makes no sense to me. None. So when we get into this, you know, well, a 60-40 portfolio, and I run a Monte Carlo simulation, which is nothing more than millions of theoretical calculations, to tell me if I can take 4% for life and not run out. What are my odds? And once again, I just want to say, if you just take a step back from the fact that you just did millions of calculations to really run the numbers, you know, and you just heard this from Vanguard and trusted advisory services, we have the same Monte Carlo simulation on our website. Garbage in, garbage out. 40% of your money sitting there at a 1%, 1.5, 2%, whatever you want to call it, 10-year treasury. It happens to be, you know, 0.75. But this is the same thing we've been talking about now for years. And it's still out there. We're going to move our money after we've taken a bit of a hit, not big hit, but a bit of a hit. Because it's always going to get worse, right? It's never going to get better, and then it just gets better, right? It's never going to get better. Just ask the media. We're going to somehow make it work. Because what we're going to do is we're going to get out. Again, after taking a temporary loss, we want to go ahead and make it permanent. So we take a permanent loss, but that's all right because we know it's going to get worse. I suppose it does. And then we're going to get back in. At again, the right time. How? I mean, we're just going to wait for this to blow over. Is that what you mean? Is that you know, after we go into a recession, before, or find out we don't? Get out. Get back in, thousands of points higher, is not an investment strategy. It's the end of your investment success. It totally is. once you start down that road, you are finished. You're finished. It's like don't. It's people will ask, what should I do? Invest. Put a little in. Well, I don't have much. You know, I'm pretty much invested. Find a couple $1,000 and throw it in. It's the principle of buying down. It's the principle of buying into fear. It changes everything about you and your chances of investment success. It's not the amount of money you can put in. It's not the fact that you have tons of cash at just the right moment. Lucky you, because you happen to sell a piece of property. Let's not pretend you were sitting around with cash, because I'm sorry, that means you've just missed thousands of points on the upside, okay? So that doesn't work either. When we play that game, we're going to get burned. We're going to lose. It's game over. If you win, it's like the kid that wins the first time in a casino. He'll be back. He's really smart. He's figured out how to beat the craps game. Yeah. He knows how to count cards at blackjack. He's good. Yep. Casinos just opened up. They just rolled out of bed yesterday. Mm-hmm. We all understand that. It's a bad practice to get into. Listen, it was a rough week. I got to have to take a quick break here. And we'll talk more about it, obviously. But we've got a lot of other really positive news. And it's not just the volatility stocks. A lot of positive news. I mean, the jobs numbers were unbelievable. Unbelievable. Guess what's coming up next week? Assuming we don't drop, about 5,000 points next week? Or not, I should say in the early part of the week, is going to be the 11th anniversary of this bull market. 11th anniversary. From 6,000 to 26. All right, we got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, you're up to bat next. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. And, of course, if you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Our friend Jim. Jim, how are you today?
Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, I guess it's time zone change again or something like that.
We are. Daylight savings time. How about that?
Gain an hour.
The sun will never set. Yep.
I wanted to ask you about the steel industry in general and U.S. steel in particular. Now, yesterday I got together with my financial advisor, who's now at Edward Jones, and years ago she had recommended, or they had recommended, Steel Dynamics. So I got Steel Dynamics. Steel Dynamics is doing okay. They're up, and now they're down like everything else. So now, apparently, from on high at Edward Jones, they're recommending to sell Steel Dynamics, which I don't want to do. Well, at the same time, she also mentioned that U.S. Steel, now U.S. Steel has been around forever, U.S. Steel is like $7 a share. So it took me a while. I'm driving home, and it occurs to me, rather than sell Steel Dynamics, why not buy U.S. Steel? You know, I mean, U.S. Steel could be a hell of a deal unless they're going bankrupt. So what do you think about U.S. Steel?
I think it's a dying industry.
Okay.
I really do. Jim, it's not that it's not going to be a good stock. It might be. It can get so cheap that, you know what, it can go on runoff. And there's very few stocks I want to own that are like that, okay? Let me give you a quick example. There is a company. I'm not going to give you the name of the company because then it just feels like I'm trying to, you know, buy, sell, sell, sell. Right. So, okay, but I've got one company that is in the mall business, okay?
Right.
But they've got a great balance sheet, and they've got a terrible business. So this is one I don't want to own. So generally speaking, I'm going, I don't want to own retail. I do own Amazon. To me, that's the retail play, okay? You could probably make a case for Walmart. Other than that, everything else is going out of business. I don't want to own it. Now, you might argue that they're not going to, Macy's going to make it, and they have a high dividend. All those, that's great. There could be a good stock for a year or two, maybe, all right? But what I'm trying to do with the portfolio is think this way. I don't want stocks that are in a declining industry. I want the category killers in growth. I want the Internet of Things. I want 5G. I want robotics. I want genetics. I want biotech.
But steel is used to make things. Now, what is going to replace steel?
Good question, and that's a really fair question. So I'm not saying that they're not going to survive in some shape or form, but now we've gone from, for example, you know what they use more of now is crazy? Is aluminum. Yeah, it's crazy. They use so much. So why didn't Alcoa jump to the moon? Because of competition, and they're just a commodity business. They just, you know what I'm saying? But even though they had the edge and they were able to make really, I find it unbelievable, but basically the tin cans we sit in the air, and with all the pressure and stuff, it's basically aluminum, right?
Right.
And it's just amazing how strong it is, and what the forces it can sustain are remarkable to me. And I'm not saying you're not going to make things with steel. Of course we are.
Well,
but the point is how come they, where this is a booming business, are just staying in business? They're not growing like Google and Facebook and Amazon. They're not growth companies, and I want growth, because growth, if you don't have growth, you're on the cusp of shrinking.
And so basically, steel is kind of dying.
Yeah, but also it's because of the mini mills, right? Because anybody can make steel, right? It's like, boom, let's go ahead and make that. If you really want a steel company that's fallen on its face, but it's the largest in the world, I'm going to say the name wrong. It's Accelatorium, blah, 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 something like that, Accelator or something. It's out of Germany, I think. It might be Luxembourg or some tax haven. But the point is that it's the largest in the world. It's probably about $10, all right?
Right.
So it is crushed, and even with all the growth in the world that we've had, you're still saying steel companies are getting crushed, and they are everywhere you turn. It's the same with automobiles. Do I want to touch them? I don't. I just want to narrow things down that I can look at that are high quality, and if mutual fund managers that I own, and I have a few of those, or the ETFs that own them, that's okay. But my search now is pretty straightforward and simple. I want to find the companies of the future, the highest quality companies, and I want to own them. I don't want to trade them. I don't want to trade those. I want and if I don't know who it's going to be in the Internet of Things or robotics, then I want to own that space, right? And I'm not saying with all your portfolio, but I want those in particular. I'd love to have the dividend payers and the dividend growers like Apple, you know, and stuff like that. Again, not pimping Apple, just saying, hey, this is the kind of company that is now down from 340 to 300 or 200. I'm sorry, 290 or so. Go ahead. If you're going to buy it, this is what you're looking for. You're not going to go, oh, it could fall further. Of course it could fall further. Of course it can. Nobody knows the future. But if you're sitting there saying, I was just waiting for a pullback, you just had it. And now you can take some of this garbage that's in your portfolio, because we all have it, right?
Right.
And we trim it out. We take our losses or harvest a few gains, and then you move on to something that's a more growth. It's a healthy process. I know you like to collect stocks, but to me, and I do too, it's hard to take a loss. But man, when you do, it feels good, actually, just to get that crud off your screen, right?
Well, yeah. I finally, you know, I had Bank of America for the longest time, you know, and they had like a $30,000 loss, and finally I bit the bullet.
Yep.
And then sold them at a loss, and then, you know, bought some new stock, and now it's gone up like mad.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, maybe selling Steel Dynamics wouldn't be a bad idea.
I don't know anything about them. It sounds like a really cool technology name, and maybe they are. But if they're just a steel manufacturer,
Dynamics,
I don't want
it. Steel.
Yeah, nah, well, they're in steel, but I'm just saying there's all kinds of different ways to be in that business. Are they in the business of providing some kind of patented formula for all the steel manufacturers? That's
right.
Different. That's a tech business. So I don't know anything about the company, and you might want to wait for a dead cat bounce here because, you know, the world is afraid right now. So,
well, apparently they're doing like better than U.S. Steel. I just wondered.
Yeah. No, I don't. So in that kind of industry, if you will, generally, don't follow it, and I don't want to. I don't.
Well, I did get Delta, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not saying there aren't. No, and that's okay, because I think that there are so many limited good airlines out there, right, that once we get over this fear and you've reached a point of so much fear that you can.
I got something to pose to you.
Yep.
It occurred to me the other day, for instance, okay, the market's going down like mad, right?
Right.
Okay, and I'm thinking now would be a good time to buy a good company. And I asked my advisor, and apparently there isn't such a thing as this, but I would think that all the stocks, if the market, if there was an app, so to speak,
yep.
If there was an app that would rank all the stocks according to how much they've gained, percentage gain or loss that day. For instance, and you might have them by category. For instance, I might call in and say, I want to buy something that's a good buy. And they might say, well, this stock is a good company and it's down 30%. Good, I'll buy it. But apparently that doesn't exist.
Well, it does exist. I don't know. It does exist. It absolutely does. You can go on something as lame as Yahoo Finance, okay? And they they have the losers of the day. All you do is click a button. They actually have a button there that says the largest percentage losers, okay?
Right, right.
And the largest percentage gainers are there. They have a calendar of all the upcoming events. So it is there. I'm just saying, and you can certainly do that. Bloomberg has all that. That's how he made his fortune, by the way, was investment numbers, right? Grinding the numbers for advisory firms. And so that's how he made his fortune. But I'm sure they have what they call Bloomberg terminals, things like that, where he can easily come up with those numbers. But I don't know that they, on an app, that's an interesting idea. They have it on you can push the button. Why not an app?
Yeah, and have the companies rated according to, good companies that are really losing, good. So you don't have anything in particular you want to buy. You just want to buy a good deal.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is, of course, trying to catch a falling knife, and usually you just get cut, right? It's not. I agree with that strategy. I totally do. But you have to be a bit cautious. You're watching a company and you want it to come down. That's great. Guess what just happened? Was it on any news? Did Apple, Amazon, Google come down on any company specific? They quit getting as many searches or quit selling cell phones? The answer is no. It's just general fear. And that's called opportunity. And so it's not a one-day thing, but it's called opportunity, but most people won't take it. They just cry. And,
well, generally,
and they do.
I like a particular stock, but, I just said, hey, buy something that's a good deal, and I didn't, have anything particular. So.
Gotcha.
Okay, all right, Jim. Well, have a great day, and who knows when this will be over, and so far I'm still virus-free, even though I have Corona beer.
That's good. Well, apparently beer sales are down.
That's why I'm buying. I want to write a letter to Mexico and hopefully get a thank you note from them.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
Well, anyway, take care.
Hey, have a good day. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're just about out of time this hour. I'll tell you what, in the next hour, we've got so much stuff to talk about. This amazing jobs number, when is this virus going to end? We don't know when it's going to end. That's an absurd question. But I've got a couple thoughts about it. So I'll toss out just a general overview of that. In the next hour. But what is going on with interest rates? We need to talk about that a little bit, because are we going to end up going negative? We went down to 0.7, all-time low, this past week. It did finish a little bit higher than that, but not much. And again, chasing this amazing, all these bonds in fear. All right, we got to take a quick break here for Fox News, top of the hour. Hope you will join us in the next hour. Give us an email, dave@petsofinancial.net. Hello, welcome. Yeah, we have a little bit of we're going to probably have to work through some technical difficulties, not just today. It'll be a little while because we've got a new system in there they're working on. And guess what didn't happen? No Fox News, right? So I'll tell you, it was the same news that happened last hour, okay? Same thing. Nothing new. It's okay. Coronavirus, get scared. Let's see what else could have happened. Democrats are angry about something Trump did. Okay. And then there'll be another erectile dysfunction commercial tucked in there. Okay. Oh, I forgot. And then there'll be another annuity pimp commercial in there, too. So that's pretty much what you got. And that's a summation of 20 seconds of news. Okay. There you go. Now, what's going on with this coronavirus and why are we so freaked out? It's the unknown. All right, so I'm going to put on my shrink hat, right? And then I'm going to pull away from the TV for 5 seconds, where all the experts are discussing day after day after day after day after day after day, hour, 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 after hour, after hour. Okay, I'm going to again share a quick story because, as you probably know, I recently, very recently, got married. And, of course, very recently took a honeymoon, coming back to this messy market, right? And although, frankly, it would have been terrible to be away when it was getting really messy, right? Yeah, because you just can't enjoy like a round of golf and the snorkeling and all that stuff, right? So it pulls you in. So, but what happened, of course, because I do this on weekends anyway. I don't watch news. The TV's not on. I mean, I can't help get a couple of, idiot blurps from Bloomberg, some hate Trump thing that comes in, because I've got Bloomberg on there for market news. You can't help if there's something big, you're going to know, if the sun decided to stop shining, I'd probably get a bulletin and know that. But this went for a whole week. And I did share this, but I want to share it again because I think it's an important thing to do or to try to do from time to time. But for an entire week, no TV, only music for the radio. For an entire week, no newspapers. Came back, and it's like, okay, guess what? Back to the real world, got to get re-engaged. What's going on? Start listening to a little bit of the news. Literally, I swear this is true, nothing had changed. We think that stuff is going on because it feels like it every day, right? So think about the coronavirus and what we know a week ago and what we know today. The same. We know the same. And the only real news that would have happened on the political front is that Chuck Schumer exposed himself for being a radical jerk. But we already knew that. That's not new. He just got in trouble. Did that change anything in D.C.? No. No. Does it change the outlook on the presidential election? Nope. Not at all. Not at all. And here in breaking news, Donald Trump tweeted, "You can go home." It's an important point that once in a while, turn it off. If you want any clarity of what's going on in the world. But what we have now is this constant, we don't know. So let me give you just a couple of data points to think about in this world of overreported, overwatched, it's your choice, fear. And totally overanalyzed for something we don't know. Do I have coronavirus? I might. Maybe you do. I don't know, because it's like everything from a cold or minimal. I have the sniffles. I'm pretty sure it's allergies. I'm having a tough year. It's weird. But our bodies change. I didn't have allergies 5 years ago. Now I have them. Who knows? I've got corona allergy. I don't know. The flu kills far more people every year, and we don't panic about it. But we're panicked. So people, everything's canceled. Concerts are canceled. Conventions are canceled. The economy's going to slow down. And then we're going to pick right back up. And I don't know when. And I don't know why. But I will say this. The number of active cases, that is, I have coronavirus, I have been tested, and I have it, minus the people who have been cured. Or they're better. They're not cured, they're better. And the very few that die. Has been on a steady decline every single day. Not even talked about. We're down below 50,000 active cases worldwide. I know, because this is the perfect thing about us human beings. I heard it in my head, too. And I heard you say it. Yeah, but we don't even know how many people have it because we don't have the testing and all the people and underreporting. You can't trust the Chinese. Got it. The point is an awful lot of people have gotten better already. As we panic about crossing 100,000 reported cases in the world, or is it really a million because of the unreported ones? I don't know, but millions get the flu every year, and millions recover from it, and we don't stop doing stuff. You know what I'm doing this weekend? Honest to goodness, it's true, and I actually have a couple of friends that are doing it too. We're going to plan some fun stuff, and we're thinking of even stuff like Disneyland, because Nobody's going to go to Disneyland. We'd have to put up with all the little rugrats running around. So we can have crazy 60-year-olds running around Disneyland without standing in line and listening to kids cry. Now that sounds like fun. Or wherever your Disneyland is. But the point is, prices are down. Everywhere is empty. Yada, yada, yada. All right? Yeah, but we should be cautious. We should be this and this. Look, people are being off the rails. Does it make any sense to buy up all the toilet paper in the world? I'm sure those of you who did have a really fine reason. I'm sure those of you who got lots of water because the faucet is going to stop working, I'm sure that strategically was wise. And now makes you feel less fearful, right? Kind of like a drug addict that, I have less desire for the heroin because I just put some in my arm. Yeah. We feed that fear sometimes. And when we just want to say stop it, it's like with stocks. It's like, don't trade. Stop it. Don't do that. It's bad for you. Even if you're right, you're wrong because it sends you down the wrong track. No point in even looking at your portfolio. It's stupid to do that. It's literally stupid because it just makes you feel bad. So I know, I was like, oh, I feel bad. Oh my gosh, I just lost more money in the past, whatever, week or 10 days or whatever it is that you just looked up to check than I made all of last year or 2 years or whatever it is. Depends on what stage of life you're in. Why? What does that help anything in the world? We go running around allowing ourselves to do things that hurt us. We all have plenty of problems. Don't get me wrong. I'm just thinking, why feed this? If you're a little nervous about coronavirus, fine. Stay at home. Don't go to the movie theater, whatever it is. But going to Costco and feeding it by standing in line to buy toilet paper and rice, it feeds bad behavior. And that spills over in other things, like investments. Don't try to trade this nonsense. Active cases falling below 50,000. That's a good thing. People get better with this. This isn't the pandemic that takes down the world like the movies show. It's not. It's not. The underlying fundamentals are good. Yes, they're weakening. Of course they are. But sitting there in front of the news constantly, getting your belly filled with all the negativity, all the grind, all the angry politics of the day. Look, politicians, by and large, there's something wrong with them. Okay? There's something wrong with them, by and large. They want to run your life. They want all the power. They think they can run your life better. They're not trying to help anything. And this is not a 100% statement. It's just by and large. There's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with evil business people. Bad doctors, greedy doctors that will maybe have a back surgery that isn't really necessary. Or that knee will feel better if I cut on it, or we could do therapy. Let's cut on it. That is, happens in everything. And I know it happens more in politics. I get that. There's something wrong. Something wrong there, right? Again, it's not 100%. If you want a big name person, I think Ronald Reagan clearly felt drawn for all the right reasons. In our time. I mean, we can wonder about Abraham Lincoln and all those things and feel good about that. But generally, it's not a good state. So sitting around watching politicians yell about things and what they're going to do to you or in the sense of for you is really not healthy. So sitting there watching that all the time is not positive for you. It's not good. It's not healthy, and it doesn't help lead us closer to the truth. It brings more fear into our lives, anxiety into our lives. Makes us more susceptible to doing the wrong things. Oh, the annuity pimp just said guarantee. That's what I want. I don't want to don't fog it up with all the details. I just want the guarantee because I'm what? I'm really fussed up. I have a lot of anxiety. And then the market did stuff. And then they're yelling about politics and the country's going to go away. It happens to all of us. It's really tough. It's really hard, especially in times like this. We've got an unknown virus that we can't take a step back and say this is way less than the flu. Grandma shouldn't be traveling, especially grandma with respiratory issues. Shouldn't be traveling any winter ever. It's a dumb idea. She can get a little bug off of that little nice tray on the really fine airline anytime from that little kid that happened to have the flu. But we're more panicked now. We are. It's the unknown. Dial it down. Turn it down just a little bit. I want to give you this. This jobs numbers are unbelievable. 270,000. Yes, it's yesterday's news, blah, 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 before the coronavirus decided to. The point is, that's the fundamentals that are there once we get past the fear and we move forward. Once we get past that. That's the fundamentals. 270,000 new jobs in this environment? Are you kidding me? Unemployment down to 3.5%. Revisions took it up even more in the what we thought were great numbers the last 2 months. It's truly remarkable what's going on, fundamentally. Not including bonuses, commissions, and all the things that really matter in salaries because we don't count things right. Wages are rising. It's just plain old good. And it will be again. I wonder, just wonder, if this might be the turning point. Okay, I'm just thinking out loud, wondering out loud, actually, okay? Could the turning point be when we are just sick of the coronavirus? Like China. Don't you just think it's kind of like they're feeling like it's time to go back to work? It's time. I mean, what was the timing of that? Did they? Does it have to be we've had X amount of deaths, or now we're getting this, or the number of new cases is slowly? You know what I mean? I mean, this is a big country. We know they're getting new cases. They have to be. But they're going back to work. Do we do that, you know, as on the same scale? I don't know. Do we get tired of Trump derangement syndrome and just reelect him in a landslide of 48 states? I don't know. I just know that most people are just so sick of, if they can't impeach, then we're going to do this. We need to investigate that and never do anything, right? Except for the last 3 years, go after Trump. At some point, the polling shows that his popularity is going up, even as he's being impeached. Does that make sense? Maybe if we only look at it from a standpoint of, I'm just sick of these guys. Aren't you? Even if you're a true moderate or a true undecided, aren't you just sick of just the constant, let's go get this guy? I don't have to like the guy. I don't like the guy. But I'll proudly wear my Trump hat because he's doing a lot of good stuff. And it feels like that's what was happening. Do you think maybe with the coronavirus, this is what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know when the turn is. But if you're looking for a magic button, I don't think we're going to have it. And I think that the government's probably going to have another stimulus program, maybe announced this week. I don't know. Cutting interest rates won't work. It won't. It won't. It won't. It won't. It's not like you're going, wow, I saved 0.125 on my mortgage. Wow, I now am in the market. No, you were in the market or you weren't. That's cool. You saved a couple of bucks, but it's only a couple of bucks. It doesn't on the edges say, wow, this, I mean, housing is going to go through the roof now, right? I mean, you know, suddenly 10,000 more people need a house. No, didn't. Interest rates are already rock bottom. It's not going to make a difference. Maybe it's a turn of the active cases. I don't know. But we are not going to be at this fever, fearful pitch forever. And I think it makes sense to make your travel plans for the next year and go a lot. Because you could probably go almost twice as much on the same dime. We got to take a step back, whether it's the market, our lives, our fears, our anxiety, and get a better perspective. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I'm not going to freak out about something that actually the number of active cases is going down. I'm not going to freak out about something that is less likely to kill me than the flu. That just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm certainly not going to feed it by standing in line for rice or toilet paper. I'm not going to feed that by selling off all of my high-quality corporations that pay ever-increasing dividends. I'm not going to do that and go to a 0.7 10-year treasury. I'm certainly not going to give it to an equity-indexed annuity pimp. I got good news on that, by the way. I'll tell you here after the break. I don't know when it turns. But if you're not there, you miss it. You miss it. We're all upset. We don't have enough information. We don't have this. We don't have that. Da 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 da. The swine flu killed tens of thousands of Americans. And it was not a state of emergency for 6 months. The market didn't tank. People didn't stop flying. Weird. That wasn't that long ago. We're not talking about the Spanish flu in 1918. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. It is time to join us on the phones, please. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, I've got a couple of other data points later, but I want to talk about some other stuff, you know, on the coronavirus. And there's a lot out there, okay, where we just have to look at the numbers instead of our own fear. And I think it can really radically change. Look, I know I'm wired a different way, right? I mean, I'm the guy, I always say this, and it's true. I'd be the guy on, you know, 9/11 saying, hey, okay, it's going to be fine. Relax, everybody. And only those that immediately panic and go screaming out of the building instantly were the ones that lived. Okay? But fear never works when it comes to the markets. And really, literally, I'm glad I'm wired that way, because the couple times I needed it in my life, I survived because of it. We all have incidents in our lives. Mine was scuba diving one time when if I was a panicking person, I would have died. I mean, even remotely panicking. So I was very fortunate to not be wired that way. And we all have things that happen. So I understand that maybe I just kind of go, all right, this is what I do. And so as a pro, great corporations go on sale. I buy. I don't sit around and watch the dollars that I've supposedly lost on the existing holdings that I have. And then also, I want to talk about this just a little bit, because I had a great email last week too, that kind of talked about, well, what do you do? I mean, at this time, you're just talking about like the cash you have, or what do you do for clients? And the answer is, by and large, clients are fully invested all the time, appropriately, risk-wise, to what they're trying to do. Is it income? Is it growth in income? Are they in a pure growth mode? You know, that type of thing. But most of the time, in a zero-interest world, they're not going to have a lot of cash sitting around, okay? So yeah, we can do things around the fringes, but what you're really trying to do is do a little bit. And one of the things that is really key right now, and it's a simple thing, reinvest. Reinvest your dividends. Now, I'm not going to give the name of the fund and all the disclaimers that have to come with it, but I want to tell you an exacting example of that. This exacting example of a fund reinvesting its dividends from the current level, and it's been around since the 1940s, rolling three-year periods, has never lost money. Buying, if you're down 6% from the peak, and it is. Now, that's not a guarantee, but I got to tell you, I'm licking my chops, and what did we do? That's the nice thing about technology, right? You can take 2,000 accounts and have them call up the TD Ameritrade and have them go, okay, what was the ticker symbol? Here's the ticker symbol. I want to reinvest all the dividends in all the accounts. Bam. This one happens to pay monthly. 5.5%. Now, I'll take it. This is not a guarantee, and it's only happened 19 times in its entire history of rolling monthly periods, okay, peak to trough, 6% or more. And its lowest return in those 19 periods is 8.1% per year compounded after 3 years. Well, the 10-year Treasury paying 0.7 is not enticing compared to 8.1. Now, it's not the same risk level. I totally get it. To me, the Treasury is mind-numbingly risky at 0.7, okay? But I'm not even going to go there. All I'm saying is I'll take it. This is 100% of the time worked. That's what I would call opportunity. And it's just one example of what do you do in a portfolio just around the edges. Here's what else you do, and a lot of people have. All right, Dave, I've been sitting on an extra 20 grand, so, you know, what? Can I send it to you? Sure. Absolutely. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. Let's add it along the same lines of what your portfolio is. Okay. You see, the answers are relevant. You're doing the right thing. What do you do? Because it's like saying, all right, I'm going to run a marathon, and you can't, and you're like, 75 pounds overweight. You're not going to run a marathon. But it's okay if you walk a little bit. And then we'll talk about if you get that weight off and you keep moving forward, you're doing the right thing, then it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. And then maybe you can run that marathon. Anyway, you get the point. We just want to do the right thing. It doesn't matter if you've got $2 million invested. Here's another 20. Because you're doing the right thing. And it always makes it so it's easier when there's a downturn to not be succumbing to the pressure of that. Not be fussed by it. All fits in. Proper behavior. Don't look when it bothers you. Just don't. It doesn't matter. Any more than, you know, it doesn't matter if it's up 10%. You get the same income. Yeah, get the same. All right, we got to take a quick break. We need your phone calls. We need your emails. Dave@petsofinancial.net. And I don't know if we're going to get Fox News or not. We'll see. We don't know. We'll find out. We'll see what the board does with this half-hour break. But we got to take a break right now, and it's 580-KIDO. Give us a call. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. It's a nice little song. Actually, it is. It really is. If you haven't heard it, it's a pretty cool song. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave@petsofinancial.net, and we do have plenty of lines available. Let's go to Paul right now in Meridian. Paul, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave, I'm really upset.
Okay.
I'm supposed to be teeing off in a golf tournament in Orlando, Florida in 1 hour, and here I sit in Meridian. Because of the coronavirus, they canceled everything.
That's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
It is.
Hey, we went down to Fairtrade the other day because they had messed up our account, and then they told me that Charles Schwab is buying them out.
Yes.
What's going to happen with all of our accounts at Fairtrade?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, you know, we're not sure yet, okay? First of all, it has not had regulatory approval. And if you are concerned, and I am, that number one and number two merging together in any industry is a diminishment of trade and will hurt the customer in the long run, I have no question it will. I just don't know how that's going to come out, because all we've seen in this industry is, whether it's from an advisory perspective, our fees go down. The cost of trading has gone down, down, down. You've been around long enough, it sounds, that you recognize the day not too long ago, right, where people paid $200, $300 to buy 100 shares of something, right? And now it's like literally free. I mean, right? It's crazy. It's gotten crazy inexpensive with multiple amazing services that we all take for granted that really weren't there not that long ago. You can do mortgages. Interest rates are low. You get your money markets. There's just so many different things at amazing low price levels. All of that has given better returns to clients. And that's a wonderful, absolutely perfect thing. And I'm just concerned without the competition, that's going to reverse itself in some way. We've come a long ways, and costs are really low. You got exchange-traded funds that are in a price war themselves. All of those things are wonderful, right? And it's really helped the customer. I just don't know. We don't know yet. We don't even know if we have to repaper accounts, all those things. So we're just going to, it's going to be a long process, they say, probably a couple of years. Just stay tuned, I guess it is, Paul. And if you have an in with Senator Crapo, call him. He's on the banking committee, and voice your concerns if you are. I just don't think one and two in any industry makes sense to me. They got all fussed about number one or no number three and number four in the cell phone business merging. That's the only way they can compete against AT&T and Verizon. We don't want a duopoly. We want other carriers that are in there. So we're going to end up with three, and that's a good place. Three that can compete, not four three and four that can't compete in this build out of 5G. So I think it's a great thing, and everybody's all fussed about it, worried about it for a cell phone, but nobody's worried about number one and number two. And I got to tell you, number three is so far behind; they don't even register.
Yeah,
they don't even register. That's how big they are and dominant in this space.
Yeah. And TD Ameritrade just bought out Scottrade less than a couple months ago.
A couple years ago? Yes. It was a couple years. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Really crazy.
Yeah.
Well, one more bitter news, Dave.
Yes.
I'm hole number five, the Boise Open. I'm going to be doing hole 18.
Hole 18. Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully, I don't know if they haven't asked me if I'm going to announce again this year, but it's always been fun to announce on Saturday and Sunday the players coming up. So I'm sure I'll see you there. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. You have a great day.
Okay.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I told you I had a little bit of news on the annuity front this week. Now, again, you know, I asked for some help, and it's House Bill 526 from last week. And thank you for those who have called your senators. One last time, if you would. It has passed the House, and we want to make sure. But I went over last week and gave testimony, and they were they listened intently. And I don't know that it made any difference that I did. But the vote was 9-0 coming out of committee to approve the bill. And it's a start. It's a start. You know, one of the things that has always been terrible about the equity indexed annuities is not just the commissions being off the rails and the surrender charges being terrible, but it's also how they advertise them, right? It's okay to say that you get to participate with the market with no risk. And when you don't, I think you need to be saying that. And so it's going to change the advertising, both on the radio, in seminars, and of course, on the literature itself. Hats off to the Department of Insurance, seriously, to Dean Cameron. I've been very, very critical of them. They listened 1 year ago when I went in, and they did. I wasn't sure that they would. But it takes time in government, and I know I have to be more patient. I'm going to try to be. It takes time. But this is a start. But I also know they're going to come back again and go for more. But it's a good start to restrict the level of commissions, because that is reflected in the surrender charge, to 10% in 10 years. Way too long. Stupid, high, but at least it's not 12% for 15 years or some nonsense, okay? It's better. But most importantly, disclosures will be required. Disclosures of compensation. Disclosures of real costs. The caps that are put in so that you can't ever win. And the idea that you're going to be able to say we're returning 8% and then somewhere else say, but we have 5% per year in fees. Basic math says that's 3. Why can you say 8 in the first place? Only to give the impression you're getting 8. That's all. So those things are there. And I really wanted to say hats off to them. I just really am impressed. And just very happy that it came through in unanimous fashion. I don't question it's going to get through the Senate. But let's remember who our enemy is in this. Seriously. It's the insurance companies. Now, they're not the enemy of the planet. They're not the enemy in everything. But these little devils are out there allowing these products and building the advertising, the marketing material. They're the ones doing that. They're the ones allowing stuff to come in on 85-year-old people with 100% of their money and 15-year surrender charges. It's horrible. And for those of you who just want to check it out or just are trying to get some information or what have you, you're not. These are devils. But Department of Insurance is trying. They're trying. And so, Director Cameron, thank you for doing that, for pushing that forward. It was a lot of work over the last year, I'm sure. A lot of lobbying to the right senators and congressmen in our state. And it's a start. It's a good start. We're going to get there. And if for those of you who haven't called your senators and congressmen, I'm sorry, not congressmen, but senators, that's all we have to do. If you can, if you have time, please do. Just give them a call. House Bill H-26, just tell them to approve it. It's a good thing. We think it'll happen. But you just want to make sure it gets across the finish line, don't you? Right? All right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We hit record lows on mortgage rates this week, too. Fear. Palpable fear is the only reason. Can you imagine? This is really a dynamic to me that just blows me away. The same week we announce an unbelievable jobs number, 270,000, with revisions, takes them up to 350,000 of new jobs, right? 3.5% unemployment rate, wages rising. And we hit an all-time low on mortgage rates because people are diving in fear. Diving in fear. It's not a real thing. And if it's not real, when does that end? Right? It does, though, doesn't it? And then we spend and travel and go. And people will still get sick of influenza. By the way, spoiler alert, you're 1,000 times more likely to die of influenza. 60,000 died in 2017 and 18 in our country alone. Can't believe we traveled, can you? Crazy. All right, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Robin, please hang on. I'm going to take a quick break here, our final break, and so that leaves plenty of time for phone calls. Please do give us a ring. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and jump on the phones. Robin, thank you for holding. I appreciate it. Go ahead, please. Are you there, Robin?
Yes.
Yes. Please, go ahead.
All right. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Congratulations on the marriage and the honeymoon. I think I heard that on one of the morning programs.
Yes, thank you very much. She's a wonderful lady. Thank you.
God bless your marriage. Now, I have two grandkids, 4 and 2. And so I have from my job I'm retiring from this year, mm-hmm. and I'll be 56 this year, I have almost $100K in a TSP account.
Okay.
And so my thought is I am giving it to them for their education once they get done with high school, whether that's trade or college or whatever, to help them get started in life. But I want to make sure that when they go apply for financial aid and things like that, that money isn't, for lack of a better word, seen, so counted against them, because it's in my name, not in theirs. And as I pull it out, because I'm right now, my thought is to just leave it in there, because they'll be starting a college in 14 years, so I won't be 70 yet, so I won't hit that magic you got to take it out yet money,
right?
Time. So, and then start pulling it out then, and that's as best as I understand TSP. I think that's a decent way to do it. Any other thoughts or ideas on that? Most of it is a regular traditional TSP. They didn't come out with the Roth until later. So there's not a lot portion of it that's Roth.
Okay. All right. So it's all taxable when you take it out to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So don't take it. You know, you're not going to want to shift it over to them for a number of reasons. But first of all, it's 14, 16 years from now, right? That you're going to be,
yes.
And it really means it's 14 to 18 years. You're going to take it out over time, right? 2 to 4 year trainings, et cetera. I'm going to put out a couple of thoughts for you, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to be pretending to be a futurist here, except that things are changing very rapidly. Excuse me, there's my allergy kicking in, okay? No, I don't think it's coronavirus, but okay.
I'm not worried about corona either.
Yeah, yeah. But
and
it's.
I work in the healthcare field.
Oh, do you? Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. But it's I still think that education is changing so rapidly with technology that we can't imagine. For example, I'll just say also CWI, I think does an amazing job for people for average people out there getting the first 2 years of college for next to nothing, and I do mean next to nothing. You're talking about what $2,000 to $3,000 a year you can get an education out there and or get a trade, okay. And that's an amazing thing. It's very affordable, and it doesn't matter if you pay for it yourself, right? And and so that's a wonderful avenue, and that's everywhere, right? These community colleges are starting to meet that need for having practical skills when kids get out of college, right? And it's going to drive down the cost of the existing universities, and that's all good. That's all positive. On top of that, we are going to be learning a lot just off of our computer, right? With internet, and we already are. There's free colleges all over the place and very low cost online. So those costs are going to be driven down. I'm just saying education is changing a lot. So I don't know that we want to completely go with number one, what the rules are for getting money, right? Like keep it in your name, don't get it out of in theirs, and maybe just start funding a little bit. You don't have to do a lot. But there are some tax advantages in Idaho to set up a 529 plan for the kids. And you still own it. It's not an asset of theirs, but I'm sure it would be counted if they use it as a beneficiary. But I think that's a great way to start, and it's certainly one that I do for my grandkids. And just put a few bucks in there. It costs next to nothing to invest, and you just do it online, and the state gives you 8%, it depends on your tax bracket, but you can deduct off of state taxes for what you contribute. And you don't pay any taxes on the growth. So I do a little bit of that, okay? Instead of just sitting there on your money and on your TSP. And by the way, as a further, get that rolled out. TSP just doesn't have any options except the S&P 500. And as you get older and maybe want to take some income out, that's not the right option. Not for 100%. Okay?
Okay.
You should
that
have
again.
Some growth and income. Roll it to your own IRA.
Roll it to your own IRA so you can get some growth and income. You can focus on dividend-paying stocks, things like that, to level it out and be more in line with what you're trying to do, which is to generate some income now and 5 years from now and 10 years from now for you.
Well, I don't need it. Well, I got a nice federal retirement state retire from the National Guard, so I'm going to be sitting fat and happy.
Good, good. Well, that's a good...
My debt is my house, and that'll be paid off in a few years, so...
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, if you start needing some income out of it or want some, either whether it's for education or not, as you get closer to that date, I don't think you want to be all in the S&P 500, okay? It's very volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Robin, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
And all right. God
bye-bye.
Bless you.
God bless. And let's go to Brian. Brian in Nampa. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave.
Hello.
I always enjoy your show. And matter of fact, I love listening to you and Kevin on Monday mornings as well.
Oh, thank
but
you.
But, hey, I appreciate what you're doing for the community around here. I had two things I wanted to talk to you about. One, I've been considering a side job of becoming a financial planner and wanted to get your opinion on what type of education and pathway to get to that would be. I currently fly a helicopter for Life Flight, and I've got every other week off, and I'm just spinning my wheels on those weeks off that I could do some good helping people get their investment life in order. And I used to have a Series 6
okay.
license about 30 years ago, but didn't know if you had any ideas on pathways to get to that goal.
You bet, Brian. First of all, it really isn't a part-time, right? It's not a second job, mm-hmm. as you well know. It's
yeah.
just something you need to be locked in on all the time. It's more than that. It's 70 hours the first few years because you have to be studying a lot. But in your case,
yeah.
you've got a kind of an opportunity here to get some studies out of the way, right? Start learning,
right.
and that's what
exactly.
you're doing on your weeks off. So, I would start on CFP, Certified Financial Planner. That's the pathway. We require mm-hmm. that at our office, for example, that all advisors have to become CFPs.
Right.
Or they either are or they're on that pathway, right? It's not something that's
right.
like the... You know, we don't want to do that because it's just a standard, right? It's like saying we care enough to know as much as we can, right?
Right.
And it also has a lot of fiduciary rules attached to it that we want people to be acting that way. And once you get
right.
some of that education up and going, then I think you can start really digging in. And as far as education goes, you just read and read and grow. And the way I did when I got started, it was, it's different. Back in the day, right? I mean, it was different. You only ate what you killed, and, man, that was hard. You know, early 80s in Idaho were brutal, and they were brutal. But we all, those few that survived eventually learned to thrive, right? We, it's tough. You throw somebody in the deep end, they learn to swim or they die, right? And so
right.
so we did. But you don't do that today. But by reading John Templeton's and all those others, that's what you do. Read as much as you can. And Brian, as you're going, feel free to give us a call and let us know what your status is. We'll keep poking you and pointing the right way. I'm sorry, but I'm out of time today. I hope you have a great weekend.
Okay.
All right, take care.
You as well, sir.
And
thanks for your help.
To everyone, happy trail. All right.
Yep. Bye-bye.